Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28 to verse 31. And the topic for today's sermon is wait on the Lord. Okay? Brother?
Verse 20, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
That's the secret of renewing your inner strength. Inner. Go on.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint."
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. You see, the strength he's talking about there is first and foremost inner. Amen. Your inner man consists of your spirit and your soul. Amen. When you leave this world, you will shed the body, but your spirit and soul will rise and go back to his maker. That's your inner man, your spirit and your soul. Amen. And your outer man is what? Your body. Hallelujah. And Bible says that when we wait upon the Lord, we will renew what? Our strength. So when you are feeling weak inside, you know what I mean? Or you are feeling low. Anybody know what I mean by feeling low? Anybody ever felt low in their life? Put up your hand. I'm looking for the hand that will not be put up. Then I know that you're typing in your phone. Hallelujah. We all go through low times from time to time. But what we don't want to do is stay there. Do you get? When you feel low, it should be temporary. And it should be isolated. But when you feel low frequently or heavily, there's a problem. God does not want you to be in that state. And God also has a solution for you. Amen? When you are feeling, you know, spiritually weak, like, you know, you're under attack. Amen? You need what? A renewal of strength. God knows that you may go through those times. He already recommended the solution. So let me stop there and ask my first question, which is, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? Okay? Now remember, this is not waiting for. NIV we say wait for, but it's not right. That's not the full interpretation. It's not those that wait for. You can wait for the Lord, but that's not what it's saying there. It's bigger than that. Amen? It's waiting on or waiting upon the Lord. So question is this. What does it mean to wait upon or wait on the Lord? You can start approaching it by thinking about if someone waits on you. Okay, let's have our youth first. What does it mean for someone to wait on you? Yes? Someone waits on you. What does that mean to you? Someone says, "I'm waiting on you." What does that mean?
You're serving me.
Yes, serving. Yes. Yes, serving. So anybody ever been to a restaurant? Yeah? That has waiters. So what do waiters do? Do they just wait at the door? Or they wait for you to finish your food and then, okay, so bye-bye. What does it mean to be a waiter? Yes, let's have some answers. What does it mean to be a waiter? Hello? What does it mean to be a waiter? Do you want to try? Waiter? I'm sure you come across waiter, yeah? Okay, waiter, anybody? So one answer there is serve, yes?
Waiters, they attend to the customers.
They attend! Somebody say attention. You know, I tell you something, the biggest problem in life, one of the biggest problems in life is not the devil. Hello? The devil is not the biggest problem in life. You know why? He has boundaries. Have you ever thought about it? If the devil did not have boundaries, he would have destroyed the world a long time ago. Do you get it? He would just go into the Atlantic Ocean, stir it up, and a big tsunami will come and clear everything. Have you never thought about it? The devil has boundaries. Say the devil has boundaries. Amen. He will only operate within his boundaries. The reason why he gets you is that you fall into his playing field. Are you with me? That's why the Bible says we can resist the devil and he will what? He will flee. He has boundaries. Amen? That's not the biggest problem. One of the biggest problems in life is attention. Say attention. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to what I am saying, because they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. That means that I can experience divine health if I attend. Sometimes, some problems in life are not prayer problems. They are attention problems. Amen? There are some things that God cannot do for you. What the solution is, what God will tell you to do. Hello? Look at it. Who parted the Red Sea? Who parted the Red Sea? Come on. Somebody. Let's have some answer.
God.
God? Yes, that's right. Any other answer? I'm looking for another correct answer. Who parted the Red Sea?
Moses,
that's also
through the instruction of God.
That's also right. It's God that parted the Red Sea. Moses could never do it in his power. Even like, let him strike that sea a million times. The stick will just go in. Hallelujah. It's God that parted the Red Sea, but did he do it without alone? No. You don't understand God any time. That's why you just pray, useless prayers that don't, we never get answered. I think there's a lot of gambling. There's a lot of spiritual gambling going on in the church. That's why you see your prayers don't get answered, because you don't understand God. Amen? God is the one who parted the Red Sea, but he will not do it without the cooperation of a man. Hallelujah. So long Moses did not go to hear what God was saying, no Red Sea will part. Hello, are you listening to that? So long Moses doesn't hear what God is telling him to do, no Red Sea will what? And it's not a problem of God. God has the ability. Yeah? It's a man problem. And that's why he said, it's an attention problem. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes? Why do we need to wait on the Lord? We are bringing it together. So now take it from the physical now to the spiritual. So we know what a waiter does. They serve you. They attend to you. I prefer the attend. Amen? It's more than just serving. As we said 2 weeks ago, you can't serve effectively if you are not attending. Yeah? Imagine you ordered for what? Chicken and chips. Hello? In Nando's. Praise the Lord. As I'm saying it, I'm feeling like eating it. Then they serve you chicken and sweet corn. You get? Now they've served you. But was that enough? You need a waiter to attend to you. Say, I did not order for. Come on. But the waiter said, we served you. Will you be happy? No. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to the question. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? So the answers are correct. Let's pull it together. Yes, I want someone who can give me a long answer. A long answer. Come on. Yes? What does it mean to wait on the Lord now? It's all the things we said, just bring it together. Yes.
If we wait on the Lord, then we'll be able to know what God is saying.
Yes, that's benefit. But what does it mean to wait on? You see, if you tell me wait on the Lord, what should I do? How do I go about it? That's what I mean.
Okay, so
let's give her a turn. Please relax. Okay. Go on.
Yeah, we wait on the Lord by listening to God's word.
By listening,
reading God's word, meditating on God's
meditating,
word, and then praying.
I'm praying. Thank you. Yes, I'm coming. Let's have another answer. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Remember the keywords we picked before are serving and attending. Hello, don't forget those two keywords. Serving and what? Attending. Yes.
I think waiting on the Lord means demonstrating that you have faith in God.
Demonstrating that you have faith in God. That's why you see that version. What version was that you read from your Bible? Instead of saying waiting on the Lord, you said those are trust in the Lord. So waiting on the Lord is part of the actions of faith. I have faith. Well, you're not waiting on the Lord. Your faith is you have some, I know, but it's incomplete. It may not deliver the result. Do you know why? In your faith journey, God has a say so. Look, the children of Israel were living in Egypt. They were going to the promised land, isn't it? So they were on the journey of faith. But then they faced the Red Sea. They're already on the journey of faith, but they still needed God's say-so. I call that say-so Rema. The specific word at a specific time to a specific person for a specific purpose. And if we don't have that word, we may be using, may think that we're using all the faith, but we are missing the direction because there's an attitude problem. Now, let me explain the attitude problem. If you know, if you do some, what? Physics. This is in physics. You come across it, for example, in spacecraft. We talk about attitude control. Amen? Attitude is the direction of your spacecraft. Like, a direction it's pointing. Okay? So, and you can change it, you know, to the east or to the west or up or down. It's called attitude control. Amen? Now, when the Bible says, you know, there was nobody like Joshua and Caleb which had another spirit. It's not their spirit that is another. It's not, that doesn't mean they were, you know, what's talking about is the spirit there is the attitude. So when you say grant us the spirit of humility, it's not a new spirit. It's an attitude of humility. Are you with me? So it's a pour upon us the spirit of prayer and supplication. It's not a new spirit. It's an attitude. It's the right direction, pointing in the right direction. Amen? Now, I don't know why I even gone there. I forgot it. But that's some for someone. Okay? So, God has a say-so. And sometimes you are using your faith, but it's pointing in the wrong direction. And without God's say-so, you will keep pointing it in the wrong direction. It will not deliver the result. Do you get? Until God helps you to point it in the right direction. And then it will deliver the result you want. It's an attitude issue, attitude control. Yes? Let's have some. Do you want to say something? No. Okay. Any other person wanted? I saw your hand. Did I see your hand, Rotella? No. Okay. Let's move on. So, waiting on the Lord. I've not got my perfect answer, but it's part of it. Trusting the Lord. But in total, let's just combine it. One final definition. Someone said, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? Pulling everything we said together.
Waiting on the Lord, I would say, is fully dependent on God for instruction, guidance.
Yes.
On how to go about.
Thank you for that. Yes. So basically, I find that in the physical, as you grow in the physical, you should become more independent. That's what your parents want, isn't it? You don't want, you know, your 13-year-old daughter to be asking you to help them put on their socks. Yeah? So, as we grow physically, the evidence that you are becoming more mature physically is that you can do things independently and do it well. No, it's not just independence. You can go independent and do it, make a mess. You have not helped the situation. So you can do something independently and do it well. We can say you are becoming more mature physically. But spiritually is the reverse. In the spiritual, the proof of your maturity is your greater dependence on God's say-so. Amen? As you grow spiritually, you depend more on God by, you know, so basically, you live your life more by the word of God because you just decided that your brain is not good enough. So you follow what the word is saying. That's dependence. Amen? When you're in situations, you go back to hear God's opinion before acting. That's maturity. Amen? That's why sometimes you say, I have faith, but the faith is not working. What you have is not faith. What you have is knowledge. It's a brain. You have it in your brain, and you believe it will work. But the source of that thing itself is God. And until we begin to connect with God, we will lack the benefit of Him refining your faith. Hallelujah. Yes? Was that the hand up?
I was just going to point out to James chapter 1, where he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So I think when you are waiting for God, you are in the process of reaching that point of lacking nothing.
Amen. Okay, let me pull it together. So you can see that in waiting upon the Lord, there is an element of time. You know, one of the things I use in my walk of faith is this. If in doubt, don't. Wait. Hallelujah. You've prayed to God. And you say, God, I'm trying to choose between black or brown. I don't want to say black or white. There's a stark difference. Yeah? Black or brown, you don't know. Or actually, no, let's just say, I'm trying to choose between orange or yellow. Okay? They are near. You don't know. You've prayed. Yeah? Now, do you believe that when you pray, God can speak to you? Okay, nothing. God doesn't normally speak in a audible voice. He will speak inside a still, small voice. See, you always feel like it's you, but it's just there. The difference is that you know that it's not what you are thinking. It's coming, yeah? It's different from what you are thinking. That's why you know that it's not your thoughts, it's God. But where we miss is that when we ask God like that, we don't wait. Within 2 minutes, you've just done your own thing. Yeah? If you just wait, stall. Someone says stall. You know what? S-T-A-L-L. One of the keys of knowing how to hear from God is your ability to wait. Hallelujah. You know why? God, like Brother Yomi read earlier on, there's no depth. There's no searching of the depth of his understanding. So God knows infinitely more than you. That's why he's usually not in a hurry. Hello? You know many things we're in a hurry for? Have you ever found out that most times, like, God is not in a hurry concerning what you want him to do? Why? He knows much more than you do. It's like every time one of my sons, I don't know which of them, they all do it. Probably your children do it too. They are bothering, oh, I want this toy now, I want this toy now. Or maybe they had a birthday and they got a present. They want to open everything yesterday. I said, no, I don't know how you do yours. I said, no, you can't open everything today. You know why I say that? Because the moment they open it, they play with it for one night, it's become common. Hallelujah. So God knows much more. So if you want to hear from God better in your life, when you presented the problem to him, just go on and do something else. Yeah? You may be washing dishes or riding a bicycle, you know, or reading a book, and the answer will come inside you. I've learned it. Anytime I want to put God under pressure, I don't get answers. But when I exercise my faith and I say, Lord, this is the problem, show me what to do, and I dump it by faith, it has to be by faith, and I disconnect and start doing other things, I discipline myself to wait. I'm not going to take action. He just comes. I'm doing something else. Okay? I'll maybe just be over in the house and the answer will just come. And I will laugh. I usually laugh to myself. It's a good thing. You know, I'm not saying laugh to yourself like a crazy man. But when you have joy inside, the proof of joy is what? What's the proof of joy? What's the proof of joy? Someone is joyful. What is the evidence? It's laughter. Hallelujah. Come on, laugh to somebody. Ha, 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 ha. No, that's a fake one. He's going to laugh. I laugh. When you hear from God, you will tend to laugh. Amen. When God tells you what you do and you're like, wow, is that it? You just laugh. It's so simple. You know one thing I try to say is, as a Christian, you see, the worldly system is that when there's a problem, you brainstorm. Amen. In the worldly system, we have this problem. Let's sit down. Put heads together and brainstorm. Do you get it? But in the spiritual walk, there's no space for brainstorming. Hallelujah. If you know what to do clearly, do it. Don't misunderstand me. You understand? You don't need to ask God how you're going to make your tea. Although you can ask him also if you're not sure. But if you know how you like your tea, make it. Okay, we're not telling you to be stupid. Yeah? But when you are not sure, when you don't know what to do, or when the situation is bigger than you, don't crack your brain. That's the worldly system. Take it to the Father, pray about it, then trust him. Trust him. Trust him means, I have prayed about it now, Father, you will tell me what to do. I'm not going to think about it again. Provided it's not a matter of life or death. If you are going on the road and you want to cross a street and you find a sports car speeding towards you, yeah? Please jump before praying. Don't say it, Pastor Ben, as you pray. You know, you may not have time for the answer. Hallelujah. But so long it's not a matter of life and death, tell him, then wait. Go on. Disconnect your mind. Do something different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God does not like to be put under pressure. You know why? A song we sang today. Did you sing how great is our God? He said, age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. God lives outside of time. Hallelujah. He declares the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. He can undo. You know, like when you're using Microsoft Word. You know, I'd like to use Microsoft Word rather than the paper. Because on the paper, you've written it in pen, it's there. But in Microsoft Word, you can what? Undo. Sometimes you pick your phone and you want to send a heavy text. Then the Holy Spirit has ministered to you. Then what do? You backtrack. Or not just every text. You want to, sometimes you even pick your phone and you want to type something silly. Or something unreasonable. Or something, you know, something, whatever. And then you push it back. God can undo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you put it to God, trust him. Get busy with something else. It will come true. It will come right inside. You will hear it. I hear it all the time. So do you forget to say yes? And now I make it a practice to tell, when I hear from God, I let my children know. Because I want them to know practically that you hear from God. Hallelujah. And I'll tell them exactly what God told me to do. Yes. I was still going to define what it means to wait on the Lord.
So Pastor, you mentioned that God doesn't like to be put under pressure. Could you elaborate that for me, please?
Hallelujah. Okay, I will elaborate. It doesn't mean that, let's look at God. Think about it. God is never late. That's why you shouldn't be late. You don't like your father. He's not in a hurry and he's never late. You know why? Yeah? He is the beginning and hallelujah. He's right on time. Let me tell you why God is not in a hurry. I need to elaborate, yeah? Before the problem presented, he saw it. Nothing can take God by what? Surprise. Hallelujah. You see that? He saw it. So that means that when you present it to him, he's never late because he knows the right, he knows the time that he will come to that will be too late, isn't it? God may seem late, but he's never late. Hallelujah. Let me tell you another reason why God is never late. Then I will explain why God's not in a hurry. He loves you. You know, if God didn't love you, then he wouldn't really care about you. But this is the person that cares about you most in life. Better than your wife or your husband. Better than your sister or your brother. God is permanently committed to you. Hallelujah. The only time you go with forsake is if you die in the state of rejecting Jesus. Then you are lost. Because he gave you a lifetime to choose him. But whilst you are breathing, God is committed. Even when you've done wrong and when you sin, he still loves you. That doesn't mean he will bless you, but he loves you. Hallelujah. Don't confuse God's love with God's blessing. God loves you because of who he is. Hallelujah. But God blesses you because of what you do. Amen? That's why he gave you commandments. Look, for example, everything in the Bible that God told you to do, there's a blessing attached. That's God's system. You know, that's God's reward system. Have you ever dealt with children and you did a reward system? Yeah, if you do this, you get 5 stars. Hallelujah. But God loves you. Some people say God loves you because of who you are, but I don't accept that. What's so special in you? He made you. He loves you because of who he is. God is love. Amen? But by the way, he also loves unbelievers. You understand? God so loved the world, he gave. But I believe that God loves his children more than he loves unbelievers because you are not in his family. Amen? You know, it's not like he's loving you more. You are receiving more of that love because you are in the house. Hallelujah. But God blesses you because of what you do. Hallelujah. God blesses you in response to what you do in obedience to him. That is, when God says do this and you do it, it opens the blessing. Imagine Moses refused to strike the sea. Now I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit has shown me something. The sea did not part when Moses struck it alone. Because God also told them to step in. It is very possible that he was to strike it and also what? You know, it's easier to strike. You know, it's like, strike it, then tell the children of Israel that they go forward. Hallelujah. That's how you release blessing. So why we need to wait on the Lord is pulling everything we said together is that God is the source. You know, every problem in life, the solution is packaged in God. I was trying to explain to someone today. Jesus himself is the real superhero. Is he? Hello? Are you there? Jesus is who? The only real superhero. All the other superheroes are fantasy. Are you with me? He's the source. The role of Jesus in life is not just to save you. Like, save you from hell. He saves you from everything. Jesus is able to save you from every problem and every situation. Some solutions may not be what you want, but he's able to save you. Even when you've messed it up, you say, Lord, this is it, and I've messed it up. It may take 2 years. I know you wanted it to fix tomorrow, yeah? It may take 2 years, but he will put it back together. Amen? He has the answer. So waiting on the Lord, imagine you know someone has the answer. You want to need to spend time with him. Amen? And it takes time. It takes time to wait on the Lord. Someone says it takes time. When you ask him, what do you mean by time? It may take 30 minutes in a day. How long do you use to eat your food in a day? Do you remember? How long does it take you to eat your lunch, Gigi? Half an hour. Hallelujah. I bet you really digest that food. I know some people like, in 1 minute, pop! And then they go to play. Amen. If you take, you should eat your food gently so you can digest well. Praise the Lord. You should read your Bible gently so that you can digest. Wow. And you should spend time, you should wait on the Lord gently so you can, you know, hear him. Because he may not speak when you started waiting. Amen? But he will speak. Hallelujah. So, you have problems. He said, you know, don't worry about anything. He said, whatever happens, tell God what you need. Then thank him for what he has done. But I want to say that when you do that, then just leave it with him. Trust him. Leave it with him. You are not trusting God until you tell God what you need. Do you get it? But once you've told him and you've thanked him, leave it with him. Bible said, as you do that in faith, till you get the answer, one of the first things that God will give you is peace. Amen? The first proof that you are waiting on the Lord is that you have peace in your life. Don't say to yourself and say, the answer is coming until you have peace. If you don't have peace, yeah? You have not yet trusted in the Lord. He said, till that answer comes, because you've done it right, you've waited on me, you spent time with me, you've trusted in me, the peace of God will now guard your heart and mind. A peace that passes all understanding. And you'll be in that state until the result comes. Hallelujah. Waiting on the Lord requires time. It requires what? Time. And it requires attention. So if you turn to your neighbor, smile at them, say, pay attention. Life is an attention problem. Amen? Life is an attention problem. So just say life. Say, living victoriously is an attention problem. If you're a student, you want to pass your exams, what do you need to do? Pay attention. That includes attention to your books and attention to your teachers. If you're at work and you want to become very skillful and become the best worker, what do you need to do? Pay attention. If you're a new Christian and you want to grow, what do you need to do? Pay attention. If you're in trouble and you want to be delivered completely, what do you need to do? You need to pay attention. Waiting on the Lord includes communion. So remember, it includes time. It includes waiting. And finally, it includes communion. I'd like to round up there. Three types of communion. I said it before, but I wanted to say it again. Three types of communion you need in your life. Actually, it's more than three. Yeah? You need four. See, I need four types of communion. Okay, now, it's more than four. You need five. See, I need five types of communion. Five is the number of grace. Five. I can explain that to you why five is the number of grace. Amen? So, five types of communion. One, you need communion with the Father. We call that prayer. But I want to understand that prayer is not just asking or making requests. Prayer includes praise. He said, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with. And I keep telling you, I said, if I'm doing a 1 hour quiet time, I use 30 minutes to praise God. I'm developing intimacy with the Father. Amen? Hallelujah. Look, it's easier to hear from someone who is your friend than someone you're not familiar with. Got it? So, praise helps you to develop intimacy. Just you and him. Prayer includes repentance. Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. It's not that he doesn't want to hear, but my heart is not right. Attitude. My heart is turned the wrong way. I'm born again. But my heart started pointing towards the world instead of him. So repentance is a U-turn or a recalibration. Say, Lord, yeah, I missed it there. I'm sorry. I fumbled there. I'm sorry. I messed up there. I'm sorry. I allowed that lust and that pride. I'm sorry. Fear. I'm sorry. Prayer involves consecration. When you say, you know, many people, they just want something from God, but they don't want to do anything for God. You have missed it. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom never works like that. God is not a Father Christmas. Hallelujah. He is not. He's a Father. He's not a Father Christmas. He's a what? He's a true Father. A true Father. The relationship between a true Father and a son includes love. And it includes discipline. And it includes service. Are you with me? Service. Any good father. Any good. Please give us an idea of what the relationship between a father and a son. From your point of view, what you would expect to see in that relationship. Just to confirm what I said.
Yeah, it should be a cordial relationship.
Cordiality.
Trusting relationship.
Trust.
And love.
Love.
Yeah.
Do you expect service from your sons?
Service, yes. In both ways.
Both ways?
Yes.
But you know what we think now? We think God should do it all. Lord, I'm going to get busy doing my own things. When I need you, I just ask you. I'll make sure that when I press the button, you answer. That's a terrible relationship. And that will never fit the best father of all. Hallelujah. God's goal in your life is that you become a responsible son that he can be proud of. You know, God is not proud of all his sons. Please don't make the mistake. When Jesus came and he did the will of God, he said, "This is my beloved son, in whom what? I am well pleased." So God also asks sons and daughters that he's not well pleased. He still loves you because God is love. Hallelujah. But he's not pleased. You get it? That's why some sons are wrong. It's not anything you do or any state you are that you please God. You please God by doing what he wants. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. So that relationship, it includes service. So one of the elements of prayer is, "Lord, I offer myself to you. Use me for your glory. Take my life. Let it be consecrated. I give you my time. I give you my money." God is not asking for everything. He gave you everything, by the way. "I give you my skills. I just give you my opportunities, my influence, my connections, everything. Anywhere you can use me, use me. I owe him." So, what do you mean? I actually owe God. I want you to see it that way. You understand? The Bible says we have been bought with a price. That means that we now owe him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, God is not there to, God is not wanting to steal your life away. The only reason why he wants you to walk with him is that he himself is the source of the blessing. As I follow him through, yeah, he will take me out of, you know, the valley of the shadow of death. You see, well, if you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death, you don't know the way. So the only thing you need to do is wait on him and trust him and follow. You don't know the way. So what do you have to complain about? Yeah. You just hold his hand. He said left. He said wait. You wait. He said right. Until you get out. Then when you get out, you open your mouth and say, "Thank you, Lord." Hallelujah. So prayer also includes asking God for what you want. And then waiting enough for him to tell you something back. He speaks. But he may not speak at that moment. That's why I say he's not in a hurry. I just want to disabuse your mind. Don't think that the moment you sit and say, "God, what is it, A, B, or C?" Then he must say it. If it's very urgent for him to say, he will. If he could wait, you wait. He will tell you at the right time. If you believe that God will speak to you, he will. If you don't believe that God will speak to you, he won't. And it's not him not speaking, it's you not hearing because he didn't believe. Hallelujah. He doesn't speak with a loud, big voice. He's the smallest, stillest voice. But the proof that God has spoken is that you have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Let's communion with the Father. Communion with the Son. How do we commune with the Son? The Son is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. So part of waiting on the Lord is my communion with the Word. If I'm not communion with the Word, I am not waiting on the Lord. And communion with the Spirit. How do you commune with the Spirit? Have a conversation. You are walking on the street, you know. Yeah, should I go left? Should I go right? Ask him. Holy, this is how you do it. Let me teach you. Just say, "Holy Spirit, thank you because you are inside me. Please, what should I choose?" I do it all the time. I'm sure I've still done it this morning. When you live like that, what you'll be living based on wisdom, not smartness. Smartness is your brain. I know you are very smart. But wisdom is from above. Hallelujah. And finally, the fourth type of communion is fellowship with believers. We need to be in fellowship. Hallelujah. It's connected to your breakthrough. God cleanses you and renews you in the place of fellowship. No matter how down you are, so long you can pull yourself together, pull yourself to fellowship. It may not look like something has changed, but God is working. Hallelujah. You see, one of the things that hurts me as a pastor, well, it doesn't hurt me. You must never, even when you're doing the work of God, don't ever take it personal. You will just die. You must never. Amen? It's God you are serving. Trust, you yourself have to trust God. Otherwise, you will just be hot all the time. Amen? Do you know why you're getting hot? Because you care. You know, anytime you care, you're at risk of getting hot. Do you know that? Hello? Anything you care about or anyone you care about, you are at greater risk of getting hurt. Did you know that? If you didn't care, who cares? But you must trust God. Amen? So when if I see someone, you know, they are going depression, perpetual, it bothers me that they stay away from church. It bothers me. Because actually what they need to do is just drag themselves there. Just drag yourself there. Yeah? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Someone who is full of joy, can they be in depression? That joy is not physical, it's spiritual. So just come. And so there's a limit to how much I can help somebody who is in depression who will not come to church. You understand? Although the funny thing is I say, oh, I didn't come because I'm depressed. I'm not talking of once in a while. Do you get me? I'm talking of perpetually not coming. You come. That one you can do it. So long you can move your feet. Yeah? Have you ever watched what was it? This clay animation. What was the clay animation? The dog and the man. Sorry? No. Wallace and Gromit. You don't call it a Gromit. There was one episode that he put him in a boot, one electronically controlled boot. And there was this penguin, and was going to use him to rob. He was putting that boot and started controlling him. So there's Wallace sleeping, but still, imagine. Just move those legs and be in charge. Then see what God will do. Amen. And final type of communion is, of course, I remember that the Holy Communion is also there. Yeah, where we sit at the Lord's table and we partake. Because what it does for us, it reminds us what Jesus has done for us. Amen? He took our sicknesses so that we can be healed. He took our shame so that we can be, glorified. He took our rejection. He was rejected so that we can be accepted in the beloved. Amen? He became poor for our sake so that we can become abundantly supplied. And through communion, I can see that there's hope. The price has been paid. I can just log into you and stay there and say, Lord, thank you. I hold on to the victory of Christ. Let's rise up and pray. I believe that God has spoken to you in different ways. Just thank God. You know, the Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What's that? Those that wait upon that renew their strength. So, I don't know. Look, it's not a terrible thing if you feel low. Everybody feels low. But I want you to know that you can go to God and just, you can spend 15 minutes just praise Him. It doesn't depend on your facts. You see, you praise God for who He is. You're not praising God because things are going well. You praise God for who He is. After 15 minutes of prayer, of doing that, you begin to pour out your heart to God. You repent from where you missed it. You reoffer yourself to you and say, Lord, above even this situation, my greatest goal in life is to please you and do your will. Do you know that that's more important than whatever you're going through? Whatever you're going through is not as important as doing God's will. You say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. As in God's will being done on earth is more important than your daily bread. And your daily bread is provided for within God's will. So just, you pray like that. And you begin to say, Lord, this is my problem. This is my situation. Show me what to do. Help me. You know, I'm trusting you. And then you finish and thank Him. You have waited on the Lord. You may want to add to it fasting. What is fasting? Abstain from distractions. Food. People can be distraction. Chatting can be distraction. Entertainment can be distraction. And you just wait on Him. Sometimes your ability to hear God from God is disturbed by the noise around you. And then you'll be renewed. So just say, Lord, I put my trust in you. You are the source. I want to hear more from you. And I know that the key to hearing from God is waiting on God. You can't bypass it. It's a principle. The key to hearing more from God is depending more on God. So I want you to commit yourself to a lifestyle of creating time alone with God to commune with the Father, commune with the Word, commune with the Spirit. And, committing yourself to the place of fellowship. No matter in season or out of season, it doesn't matter. God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He doesn't go on holiday. And he never goes weary. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't grow weary. And I believe that God will do something wonderful, incredible, awesome in your life. Hallelujah. May you sing, "How Great Is Our God," to round up the service. Can you give me that lyrics now? I just want the second verse that says, "Age to age he stands, and time." That is like your life is, you know, it's like you lost 1 year or 2 years or 6 months of your life. Time is in his hands. He can restore all the years that the locust has eaten. That's what he does. He restores. You think you lost it, he will bring it back in another way. I say God is the restorer of time. God is the restorer of time. So we are singing, "Age to age he stands, and time." I want to see God like that. Time is in his hands. He's not in a hurry. He will meet you right on time, because he knew much more than you knew about the situation. Right on time, he will deliver. How great is our God, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great. Say, "My God, my God.
He's my God." And all will say, "How great, how great is my God."
We're going to sing, "Age to age he stands."
Age to age stand, and time is in his hand.
Beginning
and the end, beginning and the end. The God had dreamed in one, Father, Spirit, Son.
He's the Lion and the Lamb.
The Lion and the Lamb.
I'm saying, "My God is great.
He's our God."
My God, sing with me.
My God
is my God.
Yeah.
I'm saying,